We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
More memories are made when you're there for live NFL action. And when you need tickets, Ticketmaster's got you covered. As the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster gives you more ways to find your perfect seat. Their interactive seat map gives you 360-degree previews of your section to make sure you have the best view of those pivotal plays. And if your plans change, Ticketmaster gives you more flexibility to sell or transfer your tickets. Plus, mobile tickets make getting in on game day a breeze, and you can even customize your Ticketmaster app to rep your team's colors. Find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NFL.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Week 4 Prime Points Show here on RotoGrinders. We have some new faces in some new places, both Graham
and Jake
are feeling a little under the weather today. So instead of calling up like the interns and going down the rungs, we went up the ladder. We got Scott Barrett back on the show. Scott, we used to do the show together. From a previous employer from Pro Football Focus. This was many years ago. Now you're over at Fantasy Points. Very, very happy to have you back on the show today, Scott.
I'm happy to be back. I missed you, Brett. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's a throwback to some good times we used to have. And we have Mr. Data Science as well, Chris Weck from Fantasy Points. Just had a very interesting tweet storm earlier on a whole bunch of fun statistics. We're going to get into some of those in just a bit. But Chris, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell everybody what you do over at Fantasy Points.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Like you said, I'm kind of like the chief data analyst for Fantasy Points. I do a lot. I do everything from charting the football. I watch pretty much every game every week, charting it, recording all this data. And then I pretty much manage how all that data gets processed and then powers a lot of the awesome stuff on our data suite that you guys talk about every week. And, of course, dabble in some DFS and betting stuff. Cause I mean, what's the point of getting all this awesome data if you're not going to make some money off of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, imagine working for, RotoGrinders or Fantasy Points, not playing DFS. If you're available in one of the sports betting states, jamming bets in left and right, playing the fantasy pick 'em, all that. Yeah. You have to be able to do that. Right, Chris?
Of course.
All right. So, Chris, I just mentioned some of your tweets. Let's pull this up on the screen share for those of you watching on YouTube, either live or on replay. If you're listening on podcast, you can check all this stuff out on Chris's Twitter feed. That is at Chris Wecht, WECHTFF. You'll be able to follow him over there. But we've pulled up pass rate over expectation. Chris, I see a lot of bars. I see a lot of green dots. I don't know. I'm not the most data analytics person here. What are we looking at? Looks like some very interesting stuff.
Yeah. So pass rate over expectation is something I like to look at every single week. I think pretty much everybody should. It tells us a lot about what teams think of their offenses and how they might treat different game situations. So the bars are just the season total, where they're at in terms of pass rate over expectation. So the more positive they are, they're more often passing when history says they don't necessarily have to. And the more negative are means they're not passing enough when they probably should be passing more. And then the green dots are just the most recent week, just to give an idea of where the most recent week compared on to their season total. So a couple things to point out here. I don't think I've ever made this chart and seen only like 10 teams in the negative range. Usually it's like closer to 50-50. So the league as a whole is definitely being more pass happy, at least so far this season. A couple teams that stand out to me that made kind of big changes, the Panthers getting into that 12.5% range, pulling them. That's way more pass heavy they've been.
Well, they have a competent QB now, Chris.
Right, exactly. So that's notable. They're probably a team that is going, as long as Andy Dalton is the quarterback, they're probably going to pass more than they were with Bryce Young. The Cowboys in a trailing game scenario were pretty negative PR ROE, which is a little surprising. Mm-hmm. Multiple receiving between CD, Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup, Jake Ferguson, Tony Pollard out of the backfield. That's a lot of receiving talent to not really be utilizing. Same can be said for the Lions. They were positive this week, but negative on the season is not really great, especially for Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's had a good year, but like him being taking that next step into the top five wide receiver range.
He's hurt now. All of the fantasy football Twitter injury experts speculate he suffered a turf toe injury the week before last. And that's typically an injury where you don't return to baseline levels of production until 4 weeks after the fact.
Yep. Yeah. So that could be partly why they're playing the way that they are. They are winning games though. So I wouldn't really expect them to make a hard shift the other way. But yeah, so those are three of the major ones that stood out to me.
The team that stood out to me, I'd say, would be the Patriots. So second worst last week, but heading into the week, Mac Jones, ranked first or second in total pass attempts. New England's pacing the league in situation neutral pace of play. So situations were where they are being forced to pass. I think there is going to be underrated value in some of these pass catchers, Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker, Hunter Henry, that I think DFS players are sleeping on. But yeah, like as a general rule, like what do they want to do? Like ideally they control game script and they go run heavy, and that's easy to do against the Zach Wilson led Jet. But I think most weeks they're going to be trailing, and that's really good news. Like I said, for some of these pass catchers, Ramondre Stevenson is a player who does better in negative game script. And you know, like Bill O'Brien is like a massive upgrade over Matt Patricia, who was calling offensive plays last year. You remember Deshaun Watson with Bill O'Brien. He was top six in fantasy points per game every single year. And now he does not look good at all. I think that's an underrated offense. You know, teams are going to look at the averages, but really it's sort of a situation where, if they're expected to win, like against a quarterback like Zach Wilson, just avoid it. But if they could be forced to pass, I think there's underrated upside there.
Yeah. And if you want to check out anything else from Chris's tweets, you can get that at Chris Wecht. That's WECHTFF. You'll be able to find not just this chart, but many others, along with some I went through your Twitter today, Chris. Full of data stuff. A very nice fantasy football follow.
Chris is a superstar. He's legitimately one of the most brilliant minds in the industry, because not only is his data game as good as mine, but he's also our best film charter. Like he's brilliant when it comes to and like that's such a dangerous combination. Whereas for me, you know, like I don't know that this is cover three or cover seven or whatever. You know, Chris knows all that valuable X's and O's stuff. So it's such a dangerous combination when you're really sharp with data as well.
Yeah, give Chris a follow. You won't be sorry for it. Scott, I want to go to a tweet you had sent out. You've been a very, very busy man over at the Fantasy Points today. So let's talk about your...
This is all like background for my article. Like I'm writing an article that's like, I don't know, 20,000 words or whatever. And some things are just easier to put out in tweet form and then, you know, screenshot that then, you know, just write a bunch of words on.
Yeah. So there's a lot to choose from here. You want to talk about expected fantasy point market share when leading, when trailing. What are some interesting points? Because these are, you know, very game script dependent possibly as well. if there's blowouts, we might want to use this a little bit more. If teams are, if the game's going to be close, we can take advantage of the information either way. What's standing out to you?
Yeah. So, this is team XFP market share. So XFP is expected fantasy points, which is this broad bucket stat to measure a player's volume. It looks at air yards and targets and carries and inside the 10 carries and inside the 10 targets and end zone targets, just captures all of that into one score. And so Tyler Allgeier handles 43% of all of the fantasy volume when Atlanta's leading. So in games where you think Atlanta is going to win or lead most of the time, he is an excellent play. But if you look down, he's 37th when Atlanta's trailing. He's basically unplayable. So when, if there ever is a game where Atlanta's favored by 6 points, he is going to be an amazing DFS play. The exact same thing is true for Brian Robinson. And the exact same thing has been true for Kenneth Walker for a long time now. Over Seattle's last 5 victories, their RB1 averages 20.8 fantasy points per game. That would have ranked second best last year. And so this just speaks to a player being game script sensitive. Like, we know that's the case with Derrick Henry. He's unplayable in losses for the most part. And in victories, you know, he's a potential slate wrecker. And that's especially true this year with Tajay Spears, you know, out snapping him in each of the team's 2 losses. Then you have some running backs who are more capable pass catchers than they are runners. So Ramondre Stevenson does a little bit better in negative game script. Austin Eckler historically does as well. But just the big takeaway here is, next time you see Washington, Atlanta, or Kenneth Walker favored, hammer that. When it's by a substantial margin, it's not just within, you know, plus or minus 2.5. And then, you know, negative game script, you can easily avoid those players.
Washington going to be favored. I know. I haven't checked the schedule, Scott, but we might not be able to use that all season long.
Well, that's why I faded Brian Robinson in redraft leagues all year. And I was a little scared, you know, those first 2 weeks, but yeah.
What do you think of Kenneth Walker? We'll talk about this. So this is basically my best bet of the week. I'll talk about it a little bit now. I think the books have this game wrong. Seattle's plus 1.5. Absolutely ridiculous going against New York. New York has no juice, in my opinion. I know they're going to get a couple people back. What do you think about him? Maybe a snap share with Charbonnet this week. How would we play Walker in DFS?
That is crazy to me. I just looked it up. I can't believe that's right.
This is the first thing I bet.
This was the same thing last week. The Jets opened as 2.5 point favorites, and then it moved to the Patriots as 2.5 point favorite. And I'm like,
it was minus 1.5 Seattle, and someone out there decided, let's flip it. And now it's plus 1.5 Seattle.
That's unbelievable. I would put this at like 3.5 point favorites for the Seahawks. You know, maybe this is just like a trap that, you know, it always feels like that when you're so convicted Vegas has it wrong. But yeah, how I see this playing out. Yeah. I think this would be a good Kenneth Walker game. Unless, of course, Vegas is right, in which case, you know, maybe Geno and the pass catchers.
It's not Vegas. It's someone else somewhere makes the lines, and then every other sports book copies it across the entire continental United States of America. All right, so there's a couple of tweets from Scott, from Chris. You probably already follow Scott. He's got a bajillion followers, but Chris definitely could use a few more. All right, so those were a couple of our takeaways. What I want to do now is maybe talk a little bit more DFS with you guys specifically. So I'm going to bring up our lineup HQ. It's Tuesday. We don't know the weather. It's Tuesday. I gave a quick peek at the weather. It looks like it might be okay for week 4 in general. You never really know. But what exactly are we going to do in DFS this week? And I've got a couple of basic questions for you guys, probably more so at both the running back and wide receiver position. And Chris, I'm going to go to you because I was going through some of these. And I was on our Crunch Time show right before lock. And I said you couldn't make a lineup without Justin Jefferson or Tyreek Hill because they give you such access to the absolute insane amount of fantasy points. But I think we have even some cheaper options this week. that could possibly get us there. So we've got Jefferson. I'm going to group these together for you, Chris. Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs against Miami in what could be a shootout game. You've got Davante Adams, who's just going berserk. This is against the Chargers. We've got Keenan Allen now, who not only is he catching, 17 times a game, but he's throwing touchdowns. And we've got Ja'Marr Chase in this short yardage PPR bonanza goldmine of a situation with Joe Burrow right now, going up against the Tennessee Titans. How do we dice this up? I mean, this is the most spectacular high-end wide receiver has been this year. What are the best two plays early in the week out of these? Because it is very hard to separate these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is kind of where you draw the line this week. You feel like you want minimum one, if not two, of those guys in a lineup, in every single lineup you build. It'll be interesting to see how ownership breaks out, and that'll probably drive a lot of my decision making into how I divvy these guys up. I think that Raiders Chargers game probably goes the most overlooked of these elite guys, and I think it probably shouldn't. I think two bad teams with terrible secondaries. The Chargers just benched JC Jackson because he was playing so bad. So Keenan Allen and Davante Adams are two of my favorites, and not to mention they're also cheaper. And Adams is putting up the same scores we've seen him put up his entire career, and it seems like nobody really cares. Maybe that'll change this week, but there's no reason he should be significantly cheaper than Jefferson Hill, and he should be closer to Jefferson at least. I think Tyreek I think is just on another level this year.
They literally both just saw 20 targets.
Right.
That's not something that happens every single week. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Tyreek should be like, let's say, 9.6K, and then Adams and Keenan should be right next to Justin Jefferson, wherever you want to put him. No more Mike Williams. It's going to force the ball even more to Keenan Allen, who's playing out of his mind against two bad secondaries. Yeah, I love it. I'm with you.
Scott, I want to go to you and talk maybe a little bit cheaper wide receivers, because I was expecting, I pulled up DraftKings a couple hours ago looking at the show, and I was expecting to see Tank Dell, Adam Thielen, like 5,700, you know, 5,500. These guys are 4,600. Like, they got the price bump from the low tier, but it's not enough for what we saw out of them last week. And you know, with Adam Thielen, he's got a good quarterback. You know, do you think Carolina's regretting taking Bryce Young number one right now? Over, you know, staring at Anthony Richardson and saw what he was doing. You're looking at CJ Stroud and look at how he hasn't thrown a pick, how efficiency been, even, you know, with some trailing game script. I mean, could this be like one of the bigger blunders besides taking Trubisky over Mahomes for the Bears?
Yeah, halfway through week two, someone who's really sharp, he does a really big NFL draft guide every year. He asked me, you think if teams could like redraft today, do you think Bryce Young would go top 15? And that just sounded like such a crazy, you know, like, I mean, it's like a game and a half we're talking about, but he's really looked bad. He's really looked like he kind of doesn't belong. And, you know, on the film, you know, that height kind of really stands out a bit more when you're up against, you know, you're behind NFL offensive linemen who are all like 6'7". I don't know. In terms of the cheap wide receivers, obviously all of the Houston receivers stand out to me with Dell far and away above the rest. I think that in today's day and age, offensive play callers are starting to matter more than the players to a large extent, where it's just, you have these geniuses who are acting like field generals who are just moving chess pieces around the board. And then the defensive coordinator has to counteract that. And you have to come up with a counter to their counter. And like, if you're Mike McDaniel level genius, you know, you could drop 70 points in a game. And I just think Bobby Slowick is on that level, and no one else is really recognizing it. We were colleagues together back when I was at PFF. Everyone talked about him like he was a genius. You know, he was a Kyle Shanahan understudy. And to me, this is like a bottom three, bottom five roster. And Stroud looks great, so much better than Bryce Young. They're one of the most pass-heavy offenses in football. It's highly concentrated between those three wide receivers. Tank Dell, glaringly now, to me, the wide receiver one. And like, we shouldn't be surprised. CJ Stroud asked the Texans to draft him. So that's clearly his guy. He's priced as the wide receiver 39. He ranks 14th in DK fantasy points per game. You can make a case for Collins. His volume is slipping, but he's the wide receiver 33 by price. And he's wide receiver 20 by DraftKings fantasy points per game. And then Robert Woods, he ranks 13th among all wide receivers and targets. He's just 42nd in salary. But yeah, Tank Dell is going to be absolute mega chalk.
What do you think him versus those Chargers receivers? Because we've got Palmer and Quentin Johnson, 4K and 3,700. What's the preference? To me, here's what I'm thinking on Tuesday. You have one of that Chase Plus tier. You have one of the Dell and below tier. Maybe you double up. Maybe you have two of those of each, right? Maybe you take two of the top tier, two of the low tier, call it a day, run the wide receiver and the flex. I haven't made a bunch of lineups. We'll talk running backs in a minute that might be able to make that happen. But that's some of my thoughts. How would you dice it up from those Chargers guys?
So I wouldn't be playing Quentin Johnson. He's barely seen the field following Mike Williams' injury. Palmer played 100% of the snaps, 11 to Quentin Johnson's 4. Quentin Johnson only saw one more snap than Darius Davis. And then not only that, but the Chargers like massively jacked up their rate of 12 personnel. It was 30% in the first half, and then it was 63% in the second half. This could just be like a noisy stat, but it also really could just be an indictment on Johnston's NFL readiness. Palmer, I don't think is any good. Like for a season long take, I think Quentin Johnston's going to be like a fantasy low end fantasy wide receiver two from weeks 12 and on. But right now, I think it's the Josh Palmer show. Again, I don't think he's good, but we've seen him be a more than serviceable fantasy asset last year under Joe Lombardi. And now this is a much more potent passing attack, more as the offensive play caller. He's a really good play. Adam Thielen too, although his volume kind of hasn't been quite as good as his production has been. And DJ Chark has been banged up, and Jonathan Mingo left last week's game early. He's also like old and dusty. I would probably put it Dell, Palmer, Thielen. But then if you'd let me, you know, go to a few other expensive guys, like I think Puka Nacua is must play. He's 6,700. And like, I don't know why we shouldn't just be like, oh, Cooper Kupp is 6,700. Hell yeah. Let's play Cooper Kupp at 6,700. And then Jacoby Myers just like ranks right now top four in every single stat. The Raiders offense isn't necessarily like one we're excited to play based on like hyper efficiency or productiveness, like a Miami Dolphins, but it's the most concentrated offense in football. And given Josh Jacobs' struggles, it's really just entirely Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. I saw a tweet a couple of minutes ago that's something like they've accounted for 85% of the team's first read target shares by XFP market share. They rank 1 and then 8. Jacoby's top 3 in both XFP per route run, fantasy points per route run. So like really bad job by DraftKings pricing. What is this now? 5 guys who like all feel like must plays to me.
Yeah. They're all insane matchups too. Like none of these guys are, nuts. How are we going to choose this week is going to be very difficult. I'll have to see how the ownership spreads out, but I think it's going to be, there's not going to be the train, right? Where we're all holding hands in the $25 double up and a quarter of the field all has the same lineup, because I think there's some very, very difficult decisions to be made as the week progresses. Chris, I'm going to throw to you real quick. If you had to pick one of the cheap wide receivers or two of them, Which ones would you be going to right now?
I really like the Panthers, and you, like, I would be totally fine stacking them up with Dalton, Thielen, Shark, and you can basically spend up everywhere else in your lineup. Mm-hmm. And them playing the Vikings with Dalton at QB, they should have no problem paying off their salaries.
Yeah, it's just going to be a really fun DFS week. For get out your if you want to win tournaments with 190 fantasy points, probably not going to be able to do it by the time Sunday ends. Okay, so there was a we didn't even talk running backs. Chris, I'm going to stick with you on this one. I don't want to say if it's a bad job at pricing, but we're getting legitimate, we'll coin Scott's term, bell cow running backs at 6K left and right this week. There's two at 6K, and I'd argue probably another at 5,700. Let's try to figure out which one of these guys is the must play, which one might be one we might not want to use. But I'll start at DeAndre Swift, 5,700. If you look at the snaps overall and the attempts, it sort of looks, you know, like a split with Gainwell. But if you did, you know, I was doing this before the show. I was on the Fantasy Points data tool. Swift was done by the end of the third quarter, and Kenny Gainwell got all the work in the fourth quarter. So Swift looks like not a true every down running back, but he's getting the majority of the work here going up against Washington. You've got Kyren Williams and Zach Moss as well going up against each other in the Rams Colts game. How do you not want to play either one of these? Kyren Williams could have had a big PPR night, but Matt Stafford on those just missed every single check down he was going to on him. I don't think it was really Williams' fault. I think Stafford was just missing him left and right. And for some reason, they abandoned the run. I don't know why, because it seemed to be working every time I was watching the Rams run the ball. He should be in for a nice bounce back. Moss, do we even need to think about spending up for cash games? I understand in tournaments, you know, a Josh Jacobs against the – if Alexander Mattison can have a bunch of fantasy points against the Chargers, maybe Josh Jacobs can too. I think Jacobs is a better running back. Just a lot of ways to dice it up. What are you thinking about at running back?
Yeah, in cash, I don't see how you don't play at least two of Kyren, Zach Moss, DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift is by far the most, like, he should be, he's got to be 6'5", something like that, is probably what he should be. For all the reasons that you just said, like, Gainwell was playing mostly in the fourth quarter. He plays their 2-minute drill stuff, which is a valuable role for running backs, but not really in the Eagles offense. They just don't throw to running backs all that much. I think they like Gainwell as a pass blocker. But when they're running the ball and when they run it well, Swift is going to be the guy. I think they're 7.5, 8 point favorites over Washington. Swift should have a huge game. Zach Moss just refuses to get priced up, even though he continues to get all the work for the Colts. Scott had nailed that one before the season, talking about how the Colts love Moss. He was going to be the guy the whole time. Yeah. And Kyren Williams, the same thing. I don't see how you get off those guys in cash. And then, yeah, if you do want to get different in tournaments, Josh Jacobs makes a ton of sense, especially if Adams and Jacoby are chalky and as a nice leverage play. Tony Pollard continues to be interesting. He gets a ton of red zone work. He is getting more snaps than he's ever gotten before. It just hasn't shown up yet. They should handle New England pretty easily coming off a loss. But yeah, those are probably my two top favorite expensive guys.
Scott, what do you think about running back real quick?
Love Tony Pollard. Last year, he ranked 9th in fantasy points per game while ranking 28th in XFP per game. Right now, he ranks 8th in fantasy points per game while ranking 1st in XFP per game. He was due for like a negative regression last year. Now he's due for a positive one. I don't see why he shouldn't be same price as Christian McCaffrey. And then the best value beyond that to me is Kyren Williams, who's playing 100% of the team snaps. He's seeing a similar target share to what we'd expect from Austin Eckler and Christian McCaffrey. This Rams offense looks exciting. Should be way more than 6K. And then Chris nailed all the other values.
All right. So that's a real brief look at DFS on a Tuesday night. There'll be plenty more shows here on RotoGrinders, plenty more stuff over at Fantasy Points as well as the week progresses. All right, what I want to do now is I want to go into some of the tools on Fantasy Points, because this is where I live basically now. We used to have the Gridiron IQ at RotoGrinders, but that's gone. And I've replaced that with Fantasy Points. And as good as Gridiron IQ was, there's just so much more on the Fantasy Points data tools. What I wanted to bring up today, for those of you listening on the podcast, I would encourage you to maybe check out the YouTube feed just to see what you're missing out on. But we've got the O-line, D-line matchups, and I want to talk to Chris on these. I can get some rush grades, pass grades, some other statistics as well. What teams stand out very early in the week is having an advantage. And a lot of, I want to give you guys props. Some of the things don't update around the industry till, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, when you get access to some of the stuff. You guys have this up on Tuesdays.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Maybe even Mondays. I didn't check yesterday.
Well, if you like this tool, you have Chris to thank. This is his baby. The rushing
grades. Talking to the right man. I guessed. I'm talking to the right man on it.
Yeah, the way this tool kind of worked, we basically came up with an adjusted yards before contact per attempt for offense and defense. Basically, just kind of gets rid of some of the noisy plays, QB sneaks, QB kneels, trick plays. We want to know like how teams run the ball and defend the run. And then on the passing side, we use our pressure rate over expectation, which just kind of factors in the time to throw. And, you know, the longer a QB is taking to the throw, the more likely it is that the defense is getting a pressure. So you basically come up with an over expectation metric of how often teams should be getting pressure based off of the QB's time to throw.
And you could filter by all those within the tool. So if you want to see the best offensive lines by adjusted yards before contact or the best by pressure rate over expectation, yeah, you could just do that there.
Yep. So then the grades then basically take those things and then compare them across league averages and then compare the matchups to each other, and it spits out a grade. So on the rushing side of thing, the one that probably pops out the most to me is probably the New England Patriots going against Dallas. New England's ran the ball pretty well this year. Nothing crazy. Stevenson hasn't had a huge game by any means. Dallas is just so much more dangerous when the opposing QB drops back to pass. I would expect the Patriots to try to establish the run here as best they can. They match up well in the trenches from that standpoint. So if they have a shot at winning this game and don't get behind quick, it could be a nice day for Stevenson. The Bills rank really well. Eagles is suspected. A lot of these teams we kind of know. The Cardinals popping a little bit against the Niners is interesting. We saw the Giants kind of hang around with the Niners last week, even though it didn't really ever feel close. And we just saw the Cardinals beat the Cowboys, and a lot of that was James Conner running really well. So if the Cardinals are kind of staying a game, it's probably going to have to come in on the run side of things. There's not all the negative rush grade matchups are pretty obvious. It's a lot of the teams you would kind of expect to see that haven't been running the ball well this year, the Texans, Giants, Ravens, Bengals. None of those are like super shocking names. On the passing side of things, if there's a week that Joe Burrow figures it out and we see him kind of look like his old self, it's going to be this week against the Titans, who we've known as a pass funnel team for a long time now. He shouldn't have to be dodging a lot of pressure in the pocket. The Bengals haven't been blocking extremely well. They do have they're close to zero in pressure rate over expectation, which you want to be more negative when you're the offense. It means you don't give up as much pressure as you should. They're not a crazy blocking team, but the Titans just have not been good at getting to the QB this year either. the Packers versus the Lions stands out, but I think the Packers are a team that are kind of fooling people. They've played the Falcons, Saints, and Bears so far, who are all near, if not, or they're all bottom half of the league in pressure rate over expectation. So I don't think the Packers are as good at pass protecting as they have been. They've just had really nice matchups to start the year. And the Lions, on the other hand, have been really good rushing the passer with Aiden Hutchinson and the rest of their defensive line. So I would look for that to potentially be, you know, flip the script a little bit based off what the grades are saying.
Yeah, I've seen other O-line, D-line tools, and this one definitely has my interest. Is probably looking like the best one I've ever encountered. So thanks to you for putting it together for the fantasy points, because absolutely love this. I want to go to you. Let's go to your baby, the Bell Cow Report. I've got week 3 pulled up here. Let's take a look at what happened last week. What happened? What can we use for week 4? What really stands out? Expected Alexander Mattison. Now, we know he underproduced because he's absolutely horrible. That looks like, what are we going to do with him? Are we going to need to know, hey, coach speak, what's Cam Akers doing this week? Can we ride Mattison? How are we going to handle that? And then what else are we looking at here? Oh, you're on mute, Scott.
So 26.9 expected fantasy points. That basically means if Alexander Mattison was like a perfectly league average running back, he would have scored 26.9 fantasy points. He would have broke the slate. The issue is he's pretty below average. But I mean, it's not just that the volume's great, the raw volume, it's also the usage. You see that 80% snap share, 83% of the carries, a 14% target share, incredible usage, incredible volume. And so you can make a case for him in DFS. You could say he's due for a regression and, you know, have a big game. I think what's more likely is he's in the doghouse and, you know, it's, they're going to give Cam Akers a shot and it's going to be a committee situation. I think that's probably what's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me if he was, you know, he posted a pretty ceiling game at low ownership this week. I wouldn't play him personally, but clearly that volume's there and it's enticing. You could sort by XFP percentage. You could sort by snap percentage. I really like running backs who don't share the backfield with anyone else. And so you'll see Kyren Williams, 100% snap share, Rashad White, 91%, Tony Pollard, 87%. So really this is their backfield just about all to themselves. If you want to go to the filters over to the left, you can filter, you go to play, you can filter for yards to goal. You can look at just inside the red zone, and hit apply. See, if you do that, you'll see that Travis Etienne, his snap share plummeted inside the red zone. You'll see the same thing happen to James Cook. Those guys often get pulled inside the red zone. You could also look at it by quarter. So if you want to go to yards to goal and then fix that one. All right, yeah. So just take out the fourth quarter. 1, 2, 3, and we'll look at the Eagles, but get rid of the red zone stat you just did.
There we go. I'm getting better and better.
You're getting good. Hit apply.
It's and just then, amazing that you can actually filter all this stuff so quickly.
And there's like a million filters, so like exponential data to play around with, and then just type in Eagles into the search bar. And so this is a question for Chris, because he's an Eagles fan. He'd know better than me. What was with Gainwell getting all of that usage in the fourth quarter? Was it because he's the two-minute drill back, or was it just because the game wasn't really all that competitive?
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. He is definitely the two-minute back. That dates back to last year, and it seems to be continuing this year. I think it's a... Even though they didn't need to pass the ball a lot, they were just passing a good amount in that game last night. I don't think they like Swift and pass protection as much as Gainwell, so I think he just happens to be on the field more for those situations. He's also their like short yardage back, which doesn't make a ton of sense considering he's one of the smaller backs in the league, but for some reason they seem to like him in that role. But yeah, that's what the difference is he's their 2-minute guy. He's their short yardage guy. And then the game got out of hand in the fourth quarter. And they just, I think, said Swift did enough already.
Yeah, that game, the Eagles could have won that game, but maybe not Miami level, but that could have been a 40-point game for the Eagles last night. They just absolutely dominated Tampa Bay for the first three quarters in that one. So there's a quick look at a couple of tools behind the paywall on the Fantasy Points data suite. Absolutely amazing. Scott, how much is this stuff? It's way too cheap, dude. On mute again.
I know. I always do that. Damn it. Yeah. Everyone says the same thing. Dan Back said the same thing. JM to Win said the same thing. So it's $50. So it's 75% off its typical price. But for this year, you can get it for just $50. It's the coolest thing in the world. Super accurate data, more data to look at. And then it's like exponentially more than anyone else when you factor in all the various filter and split options. It's been a godsend for me and my work. I get my work done so much more quickly. So check that out. And also, if you want to purchase a Fantasy Points premium subscription for DFS and betting and college football, we have amazing college football projections. We're running a promotion for 25% off. That's Gurrific 25, G-U-R-R. I don't know, terrific. But guru, terrific. Just hit me up on Twitter if you can't.
I don't think I could spell Gurrific if you tried to make me do it either. So don't feel bad.
I'll have to type it out and then read it. Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to some bets. But before we do, I got to tell you guys about our good friends at Ticketmaster. More memories are made when you're there for live NFL action. And when you need tickets, Ticketmaster's got you covered as the official marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster gives you more ways to find your perfect seat and their interactive seat map. Gives you 360-degree previews of your section to make sure you have the best view. And if your plans change, Ticketmaster gives you more flexibility to sell or transfer your tickets. Plus, mobile tickets make getting in on game day a breeze. And you can even customize your Ticketmaster app to rep your team's colors. Find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NFL. All right, Scott is he's going to wait. Scott has been writing all day. His fingers are tired. He's going to take a break from the bets. He can give some input on what he thinks here. I've already mentioned I'm 8-0 so far on the show this year on the picks. I've had a good 3 weeks over at Scores and Odds 2. That's our sports betting app over at Roto Grinders. So I already gave away my play of the week for sure is that Seattle +1.5 going into New York. New York getting, I think they'll have Thomas back. They might have Saquon back, but I don't even think it matters. I think New York ran very hot last year. And I think we're finally starting to see them come back down to earth this year. And I know Seattle's not really playing any defense, but I think they're going to get Jamal Adams back. They're going to have a little bit better defensive game plan, hopefully. And I just think their offensive, the players at Geno Smith, the wide receivers, you got two good running backs. They're absolutely going to trounce whatever the Giants are able to throw out on defense. So getting the Seahawks as an underdog is absolutely blasphemous to me. I think Scott agreed with that. Chris, would you agree also?
Yeah, I actually wish I made this one of my. I must have just stopped scrolling before I got to the prime time.
It's Monday night, right? So you're just like, it's the last one. I forgot it.
Yeah,
yeah. Can't believe this one. Chris, if you wanted to say what's your best bet of the week?
I really like the Lions -1.5 going up against the Packers. I kind of mentioned it earlier. I think the Packers have, you know, they've played very low level teams in terms of the Falcons, Bears, and Saints. Falcons and Saints have looked good at times, but not really a high potent offense like the Lions have had this season. I think their the defensive line of the Lions is going to get after Jordan Love and bring that pressure rate over expectation down to a more reasonable amount for them. And I think the Lions are able to pull out the win there.
Scott, what do you think of that Green Bay and Detroit game? That's Thursday, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thursday night football. Always great football on TV.
Yeah, that was another one that surprised me. I don't know that I'd bet it, but I don't think I was expecting it to just be them favored by 1.5.
Yeah, I thought it might be. Well, if Christian Watson, Aaron Jones come back, maybe adds a little bit of firepower to the Packers side. But I think the Lions are a much better team. All right, real quick, a couple others I'm on. I'm on the Chiefs -9.5. Basically, Scott, where I was looking through the filters and I couldn't find a Taylor Swift filter for Travis Kelce expected fantasy points. Are these going to go up or down? Because there's like, it could go up because he's, you know, Mahomes is going to try to get him a touchdown every week, or it could go down because this is Taylor Swift, right? I mean, this is a big deal to a lot of people out there. How do we work this into the models?
You're right. We need a Taylor Swift adjustment for sure. Yeah.
But I just think the Chiefs are going to boat race Zach Wilson or Trevor Siemian or whoever, whatever Twitter quarterback ends up being their starter. I think it's probably going to be Wilson this week. We'll see. Can you guys believe the Jets are just throwing in the towel on the season? They went into this with Zach Wilson. They let Mike White get away. It makes no sense to me as an organization with a defense like that, with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, to just waste a season. And I think it's almost too late to turn it around.
Yeah, I can't. They must make a move at some point. I don't know. Like, go get Jacoby Brissett or something like that. Like, you got to try something.
Can you even do that? Like, what's the backup quarterback to go trade for him? It's not going to be like ultra cheap, is it, Scott?
I really think that just like when you lose a quarterback, you're basically dead. I know you're an Eagles fan, Chris, so you can't agree with that because a backup quarterback won you the Super Bowl. But like, I don't know. It might just be in their favor to start Zach Wilson all year, get a high draft pick, get some offensive line help for a healthy Aaron Rodgers next year. I just don't see like a Trevor Siemian doing much, like a Carson Wentz doing much better or the best available quarterback. I think, their season's over.
The lost season. So I'm on the Chiefs. I got it at -9. It's -9.5 now. The Chiefs defense under Spags this year, it's been good. And I think their team totals like 13.5 or 14.5. I wrote in my write up at Scores and Odds, I'd be shocked if the Jets scored 17. They might not even score 10 against the Chiefs. And you know, the Chiefs are just going to roll these bad teams with no offense, just like they did the Bears. Now the Jets have a much better defense than the Bears, but the Chiefs are not going to lose this game. I see them winning this very, very easily. I'd be shocked if the Jets are able to score too many points. And my other one is definitely going to be in the worst of the worst. By far, the Bears are the worst team in the NFL, and the Broncos are not. So Broncos -3 going into Chicago. The Bears season, there's so much going on with that team between Justin Fields and the coaching, between the defense. They literally have nothing. What did I write? As bad as the Broncos are, the Bears are clearly worse. They have no offense, no defense, no coaching, no game plan, no players that matter, nothing. They literally have nothing. So I've got the Broncos -3. Going into Chicago, I think the Broncos, you know, they've shown a little bit on offense this year, and I think they're going to really be able to put it to this Bears team, who is just in a death spiral of a season, in my opinion. So those are my three. Chris, why don't you round out with a couple more bets?
Yeah, I definitely looked at the ones you picked. I like those as well. I went with the team that just upset the many people's number one power ranked team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals +14. They just beat the Cowboys. That's a lot of points. We don't see those kinds of spreads in the NFL. And the Niners let the Giants hang around in that game a lot last Thursday night. I think the Niners are absolutely going to win the game. I think their defense is going to get after Josh Dobbs. But I think Purdy might make some mistakes here and there, miss some throws like he tends to do. I think the Cardinals can get within 14 points there. And then the other one I got is Miami +3. Tua is playing at an MVP level. I don't think we're going to see the Dolphins as an underdog for the rest of the season pretty soon. I don't know exactly the rest of the teams they play, but Tua is playing at an MVP level. Mike McDaniel is having the coaching season of the year right now in terms of what the offense is doing. They've got all like five of the fastest players in the NFL on their offense. Anytime I can get Miami with plus points right now, I think I'm taking it.
That's a great call.
You mentioned the Wizards, right? Mike McDaniels, he's head wizard right now in terms of being able to orchestrate an offense. And it's like he's I saw it on Twitter. He's turned the NFL from a vertical game to a horizontal game with the fastest players. They're literally uncoverable. You can't cover these guys across the field. It's impossible in today's game. What's your thoughts on that Bills game? I'm staying away. If I was going to do it, I would probably do Miami, but this game could go either way. And I guess getting the points would probably be the way to take it. Do you have a take on what's going to happen in that game, Scott?
Yeah, I think the Bills are just generally overrated. I think they're overrated on offense. They don't really have much beyond Stephon Diggs in terms of pass catching talent. And, you know, Josh Allen is way more mistake prone than I think people like to, you know, they talk about him like he's close to the Mahomes tier, and his week to week volatility is like far too high to kind of be in that discussion for me. And their defense, I think, is overrated. Whereas with the Dolphins, they have a GOAT defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio and a GOAT offensive play caller, Mike McDaniel. I think as long as Tua stays healthy, this is the number one team in football by a margin.
Yeah. And I think Tua is what, plus two? People were mocking that he was like plus 500 to win MVP. Now he's like plus 300. So yeah, I've been on board since day one. I've been on the Dolphins, I think, every week on Scores and Odds. I haven't decided yet if I wanted to write that in there, but if I was going to, I would probably get on your side, Chris, with the Miami team. Anything crossing your mind, Scott, or can I got a couple fantasy pick-ems me and Chris were looking at as well. You want to get to those? All right. So what I hate some of these, they come out and then they move the numbers on me. So I had Christian McCaffrey at 80 and a half rush yards. This was this morning. It's up to 86 and a half now. And I really like the 80. He's gone over it in all three of his games, including last week when it was a blowout and when they were going to spell him a little bit more. And if Chris likes Arizona to keep this game maybe a little bit closer, you're probably going to be you're going back to workhorse CMC, I think, in this game. So the 80 and a half I got, I still would take the over on the 86 and a half, but I really like that. This was on Prize Picks. A couple other ones. I like to do the five picks on Prize Picks and Underdog. It just gives you the best odds overall. So I'll rattle off the best rest of mine. I got a Minnesota stack, Kirk Cousins and Jordan Addison taking the overs on those. Cousins, 283 and a half yards. Addison, 51 and a half. What do you got? Justin Jefferson's, he was up to 103. Do we take the overs on the 100 plus receiving yards on this? I mean, he's crushing it every single game. What do we think once these line, the numbers start getting up there so high? Tyreek Hill was still just a little bit under 100. I get a little scared when I see 100.
Yeah, that's a tough number to bet the over on, especially, you know, I talked up the Panthers pushing the Vikings potentially in that game, but man, 103 is a big number. But man, if there's a guy to do it, it's probably Jefferson. Tyreek has a little bit more volatility to his game that makes him fluctuate. Although against the Bills in what should be a shootout, I probably would prefer Tyreek's over than Jefferson's. But yeah, that's a tough number to click.
I wish I could bet like under 50 and get like bonus odds. You know what I mean? Like just like wide receivers are just so inherently volatile, where it just like with Jefferson, it feels like a 70% chance he goes over 100 and then like a 30% chance he's under 50, which happened. He did that multiple times last year.
Yeah. That's
he did that six times last year. Yeah, Addison and every other game was 98 or more. Wow. That's crazy.
Addison's at 51 and a half, his snap share, his target rate, everything's going up from week one. So I went with that instead. I got Kenneth Walker, 62 and a half against the Giants. I know there's Zach Charbonnet's coming and he's getting more snaps, but 62 and a half, that's like one run from Kenneth Walker. Could be, if you look at the expected fantasy points, I mean, his role is very secure right now in the Seattle offense.
With Walker too, the split might just be like a touch count thing where like, Walker saw the most touches he's had all season last week. And then of course, like Charbonnet had 40% of the snaps, but it's also like, you know, they went way more run heavy because they were controlling game script, which they should do against the Giants.
They ran a ton of plays in that game too. Like they probably just didn't want Walker to get too many touches.
Yeah, that's 62 and a half.
That's not a problem for a boy Zach Moss, though. 30 carries, what up?
Yeah, Moss was a great play last week. And I'm going to round out my five pick. What are your thoughts on this one? Lamar Jackson. Scott, I don't know, maybe you guys saw on the sheet. His rush number is 46 and a half, and he's been hovering in the 50s. And I know it's Cleveland, but they're not – like, I went through his game log, and there are some absolutely – monstrous rush games for him against Cleveland, and they're not going to be able to run the ball with like Justice Hill and Melvin Gordon. It's going to be Lamar Jackson throwing, scrambling, run plays against Cleveland this week. I thought that was a little low.
Yeah. Chris, do you know off the top of your head how often Cleveland plays man. They're one of like the top six defenses, right? Yeah. They're one of the top six defenses in terms of man coverage. So I think that's a great bet on Lamar Jackson. Mobile quarterbacks run more against man coverage than zone coverage because defensive backs turn their backs to the corner to run with the receiver. And it just clears out a lot of room for the quarterback to take off. So I think that's a great call. Also more pass rush too. You can make him more likely to flee the pocket. And we saw week one, he had like one design rushing attempt. J.K. Dobbins goes down and now he's averaging like 9.5. So I think that's a super sharp bet, Brett.
That one, it just looked way too low at first glance. And I don't have the Excel spreadsheets. I don't have the Sims. I don't have the data science like Chris. I'm just looking at it and it's Lamar Jackson's at 46.5. It seems a little low. That was basically my thought process. Looked at the numbers behind the scenes. But Chris, you got anything, Scott, from the fantasy pick'em, or are we going to wrap it up here, guys?
I think we're good.
All right. So I want to give you guys, Graham and Jake, get well. We will see you guys next week. And a big round of applause for the CEO and Chris showing up on quick call to be able to fill in for them and keep the show going. So I appreciate it. Give Chris a follow. You probably already follow Scott. Check out Fantasy Points. Check out the data tool and have a lot of fun. For both of them, Chris and Scott, I'm Britt. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we out you.